This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Brewers Outlet time. That's right. Go to Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies, pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Back during the break, I actually sent a text over to Sunbury Motors about a couple of vehicles I'm looking at. So, it's that time. Yes, it is that time. Ah.
Does that mean if you come down for it, we're doing a live in-studio show?
Probably. I would think that it's probably a good possibility. Yeah, I would do a live in-studio show. And then I can brag about the vehicle.
And then you can, you can make fun of the suit live.
Oh, I'll do it right to his face. He knows that.
Oh, I'm well aware of that.
I'll tell you, he's had a lot of fun moments, and he also had one that concerned me. And the one that concerned me was the one where he was having a couple of health issues, and we were playing at Susquehanna Valley Country Club, and he hit a ball, that 9 tees, that par 3 up the hill, and that's the ninth hole. And he hit one, and he didn't, for whatever reason, he didn't hit it well. I think he topped it or something, which he normally doesn't do, by the way. Normally, he gets the ball in the air. It's just a question of direction. Because he just doesn't play enough. Because I think if he played more, he'd be a very good player, to be honest with you. So I'm not kidding around here. This is, all kidding aside, all right? And he went down, and again, he was struggling physically at the time. And I remember he went down the hill to get the ball, and he was really breathing hard. I was like, oh boy. It scared me. Right? I was really worried for him. All right. And, it turned out in the end everything was fine, which is, that's why you can tell it now. I was like, oof. But we've talked about the drive that went around the sixth fairway and came down in the seventh, and it's like, oh, and it's like 6 inches from the twine. I'm like, that. I said, you can't call that the straightest drive. I said, as witnesses, it was anything but straight. So we've had some crazy times, but the one that above all, and I told this story a couple months ago on the show, was we're out there and this big dark cloud is moving up. And you can tell we're about to get poured on. And this is the one where it starts to rain and he's in the cart. He's driving the cart. I'm a passenger in the cart. And it starts to rain. And I see lightning in the distance, and he pulls under a tree. I go, what are you doing? I said, so we have to get back to the clubhouse now. I said, what are we doing? I said, there's lightning out there. I said, we're under a tree.
With metal clubs.
Right. And I said, move over. We switched seats. I hit it as hard as I could. We got back, and then it really poured, and then there's lightning all over the place. I said, do you see what I'm talking about? You can't be under the tree. Oh, that may have been the worst one. All right, so, okay, you're an Eagles fan?
Seahawks.
Seahawks fan. Okay, so who should the Seahawks pick based on draft position and what's available?
I'm guessing if one of the centers gets there, it's probably the guy from Oregon.
Okay.
Because they lost both guards. They're looking. I think they're going interior offensive line.
Okay. I'll tell you, there's another really good center out there that I keep looking at with the Steelers. I'm not saying first round pick, but Zach Frazier from West Virginia. Watched him on. Obviously, you see a lot more on the video in my job than you do in like doing the game. Because again, what am I doing? I'm following the ball, right? Boy, he could play, and I guess he had a really good season. So he may not be a round one guy as a center. But I think if somebody picks him up in round two, which is, and I think probably earlier in round two, but somebody picks him up in round two, I think they're going to get a guy that can really play for them and play for them for a long time. You know, if he stays healthy, of course.
Well, what I read on him, and I like that in my offensive lineman, he's also a four-time state wrestling champion in West Virginia,
yep.
So he has an amateur wrestling background, too.
Exactly, which means he's going to bring that kind of mentality to the table when it comes time to block. And plus, look, you see over and over again the academic pedigree of wrestlers, very high. Because, again, I think part of it is the ingrained into them the discipline of it, right? The work ethic, it's a lot of that comes into play.
The discipline at 14 not to have a cheeseburger to make sure you make weight has always been the most impressive part about it to me.
What's interesting is that Jimmy Martin, who's now a doctor here in State College,
Danville grad.
Yep. The Center Daily Times did a piece with him about he's going into the Center County Hall of Fame and so forth, you know. Anyway, he won the national championship, and he has more wins. I believe Jimmy still has more wins than anybody in the history of Penn State wrestling, individually. And what was interesting was he had to put in so much work over and over and over again, over and over and over, that it sounds like it stopped being enjoyable to him. And that you do worry about that. You throw so much into it all the time. And it just reinforces to me that you need to have a break somewhere along the line, or at least some outlet somewhere.
I mean, you can go back to this past weekend at the Jordan Center and some of the emotional releases, both good and bad, from those wrestlers after they were done with their weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to get to the pinnacle of the sport, and that's the Olympics. And in wrestling, that's the pinnacle. All right, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to take part in the flag football 2028 Los Angeles Olympics competition. You need to dedicate yourself to what you're doing. But for example, I remember, I think it was just Oh, I know what it was. Penn State played a game at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. By the way, what a great place to broadcast a game. Oh, my goodness. I can't say enough good things about it. And Penn State's going to play Maryland. And so Jack and I were down on the field before the game, and James was going on his pregame walk around the field. And he stopped to talk to us about, like, hey, you know, look what they did to the stadium here to make it look like Maryland. And, you know, gee, I wonder if there's a couple of things we can do at Beaver Stadium, whatever. And I mentioned it on the show. And I had a couple of people say, see, that's the problem. He's concentrating on other things and not the game. You can't do that 24/7. You can't. Right? You have to have the ability to do a lot of different things. And I've always told everybody, if you're not ready for the game by Thursday, you are not going to be ready. It's what Joe told me over and over again, and I completely believe it. That's for all of us. That's for him, for the players, for the broadcasters, everything. If you're not ready for the game by Thursday, there's nothing you can do that's going to change Thursday night, Friday, Saturday morning. There's not going to be some magic thing that you come up with that's going to go, whoa, there we go. And I don't think people understand. I shouldn't say that's too general. I don't think there is a certain segment out there that gets that part. You need to have a release. And I'll give you an example. Mike Kosicki, he played basketball, state player of the year, state championship, played football, obviously. But you know what sport he loved to play? Just for fun. He played on the men's volleyball team. It was fun for him. There are certain sports where maybe you're not the best at, but you have a blast at it. And it's a great release. And I think we're seeing a lot of young people get involved in a sport early, and they lock in on a sport. And I've said this over and over again, I strongly recommend that you get involved in as many sports as possible just to find out one you actually really like. And maybe you're not the best at it, or you're very good at it, but you enjoy it. Okay. You know, because you need to have, you can't, I think the thought process is if you're locked in 24/7 on it all that time, you're going to be great at it. I think if you got an ability to have a little balance in your life and you understand when it is to train, how much to train, you can overtrain. Now, you and I have never been accused of that, but I mean,
nobody has ever looked at me and gone, wow, you overtrain.
Boy, you overtrain, man. Way to go, Steve. Way to go, Todd. Boy, maybe Steve and Todd, maybe you two guys ought to back off training. Nobody's ever accused us of that, brother.
And, you know, I always go back to this, is, you know, somebody like Jim Roth out at Southern Columbia, I think I've said this before, I don't think they practice an hour and a half a day. You know, they get in, mm-hmm. they get out. He tells the story a couple years ago, you know, they won't, as they get later in the season, they don't practice as much, you know, when you're playing 16 games a year, every year, like they do, you obviously learn some things. And he went into a practice before the basketball team played in the district final, and they played at noon on a Saturday, and they were still working on things at 6 o'clock on a Friday. And he tried to tell the young basketball coach at the time, you know, why are you even here? Why aren't they home resting? What are you going to teach them now? 15 hours before the game that they didn't know yesterday. You know, it's right. The rest is more important than the work sometimes.
Yeah, there's no question. There's no question. And I realize that you feel like as an obligation, you have to give the players as much information as possible that you're not doing your job, right? Unless you give them everything. The question is, how much are they absorbing? There's always something about in coaching, it's not what I know, and I understand. It's what they know and they understand. I mean, coaches have lots of information and lots of knowledge. The question is, do the players absorb it?
And right now we're getting into a generation that I think some coaches are going to have to learn how to, you know, get that information out to them in a different way, just because kids learn a different way now.
Well, you know, I'll tell you exactly. I've given this lecture twice in the last month in my class, and there was a reason why I gave it to them. You know, because they'll come in, they're on their laptops, their phones, whatever. And I said, look, let's bottom line this here. I said, all of you think you are really good at multitasking. I said, I can tell you right now, you aren't. You know, and I can tell by how assignments are handed in as to who actually listened, as to how to do it, why to do it, how precise it is in terms of, and I don't mean precise in terms of their presentation. I mean in terms of it's 2 minutes, it's got to be 155 to 205, and I'll get a 237 one. I'll get one that's 132. I'm like, I said it 8 times. Like over and over and over again. I wrote it on the board. Right? And I said, look, I said, I know that a lot of you, because of the pandemic, really locked in more on your devices. I said, and you think you're really good at multitasking. I can tell you you're not. I said, you need to concentrate on what you are doing at that moment. If you want to take time later to look at your device, look at your phone, whatever it may be. I said, go ahead, on your time. I said, but when it's time to concentrate on something, you need to concentrate on it. I said, when you're driving, right, are you looking at your phones?
I don't know if you want an answer to that.
No, but they all looked at me, well, no, I can't. You know, because it's been imparted to them over and over again. No, we can't do that, can't do that. I said, well, that's the same with everything you're doing. I said, if you're not concentrating on what you're doing at the moment, I said, because I told them over and over again, take care of the little things, the big things take care of themselves. Well, one of the little things that you need to do, okay, which is a big thing, is concentrate. Lock in. Don't take for granted what somebody's telling you. Don't take for granted teaching points. Don't take that stuff for granted. Right? If you want to go back and, you know, I had one young person in the class. Yeah, one day I said, what are you looking at on your laptop for? He says, well, I'm looking at the hockey transfer portal. I said, during class? I said, something you can't find out at 10 o'clock when we're done? So we're only here for 50 minutes. I said, what profound thing is going to happen in the hockey transfer portal that it will still be profound, you know, 25 minutes from now? And that's an issue. Ooh, Penei Sewell, 4-year deal, $112 million. The Lions, by the way, Detroit Lions, doling out some cash today.
Because St. Brown signed today, too, didn't he?
St. Brown signed a big contract, Penei Sewell. But, you know, the Penei Sewell signing is interesting because it does bring up another point about today's game. Remember when the Bengals had the 5th overall pick? They already had Joe Burrow, who had been the 1st overall pick the year before. And in the 5th pick, most people had them, hey, take Penei Sewell from Oregon to give Burrow protection. And the Bengals didn't do that. They drafted Ja'Marr Chase, which then, of course, opened the door for Sewell to go to Detroit. Now, Sewell has turned out to be one of the top offensive linemen in the league, correct? No, not only is there any doubt about that.
No.
Big-time player. But in today's game, because Burrow has mobility, getting the big play receiver helped put the Bengals into the Super Bowl. And those are the things that you have to weigh when you're drafting. Sewell is a great player. And he has played at a great level. He's come into the league. He's been a starter right away. And he earned his four-year, $112 million contract because he's that good. Right? But the Bengals went the opposite direction, and they went with the big playmaker with speed on the outside and chase, and it paid off for them because that's the way the game is designed today. Yeah, there's a reason why the game is so heavy on the pass game. And that's what you have to weigh now when you're looking at, especially some of the receivers in this draft, Neighbors, Williams, Adunzie, right? Marvin Harrison Jr., even Worthy from Texas, who ran the 4-2 whatever. You have to take a long look on the payoff between the great receiver, as long as you've got the quarterback, and maybe drafting an offensive lineman like Olu or John Alt. I think that's an interesting choice the GMs have to make. By the way, speaking of GMs, you saw Brett Veach got a contract extension.
Yes, so did Andy, too, I think.
Yeah, with the Chiefs. Okay, we'll take a break this half hour, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. While Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They do a great job of making sure you're fully covered and saving you money. Both elements critical to their mission at Purdy Insurance. It's all about customer service. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Always great to talk to Jerry Dulac. And my friend, a welcome back. And B, before we get to the Steeler draft, which is going to be primary in all this, just your quick reaction to what we saw at the Masters.
Well, it's what we've been seeing, Steve, all along. And first of all, good afternoon to you, my friend. You know, Scottie Scheffler's dominance right now is just incredible. When you are such a heavy betting favorite, the likes of which we haven't seen since Tiger Woods in his prime.
Yep.
And when you are that heavy a favorite and you come out and respond to it and win, that alone is impressive enough. But it's just part of what we're seeing. We saw it again on the weekend at the Heritage at Hilton Head. Mm-hmm. You know, he does what he does. On Friday, shoots a respectable 2-under. on Thursday. Friday, steps on the gas a little. Saturday, he jumps up into the lead, and then Sunday, he closes it out. I mean, four wins and five starts, and the other was a second.
Yeah.
And it's matched, really, only by what Nelly Korda is doing on the LPGA Tour.
I was about to bring that
what
up.
What Scottie Scheffler has been able to do, you know, and he's such a good guy, a humble guy, and it's just a dominating stretch him. You know what? Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. And I'm glad you brought up Nelly Korda, by the way, because, again, what she's doing on the LPGA circuit, what she's won, five in a row? Just won the Chevron.
Five in a row, yeah.
I mean, and
you know, I saw the numbers today, and, you know, the Masters ratings were down, which is what we've seen all year.
Right.
The ratings at the Hilton Head were down, and they said the ratings for the LPGA, now, I didn't see them by comparison, but they said they were the highest for an event that they've had in a long time. And, you know, we saw that, obviously, in the women's NCAA tournament with the numbers posted by Caitlin Clark and the games that she was in. Yeah. And you saw similar reactions, not as high, but similar reactions with Nelly Korda. And, you know, obviously it's great for their sport. And I found myself watching more of that than I did of Hilton Head. But then again, part of that was because there was a rain delay 2.5 hours in Hilton Head. But I was as much captivated by what she was trying to do than even what Scottie Scheffler was doing. So yeah, it was it's very impressive to see.
And part of that, of course, is star power, and the NFL is loaded with that. So the Steelers now get the opportunity to make more draft picks this time around. Jerry, give me an idea, and the audience an idea of direction that the Steelers may go. And part of that, obviously, is based on your thoughts on the job Khan does, the job that the influence Mike Tomlin has. What do you think?
Well, let's start with Thursday, Steve. And I don't think there's any question. You know, I kind of learned this lesson a long time ago. I don't know so much it's a lesson, but this kind of directive, that there's a big difference between what you want and what you need. And what the Steelers need is a starting center. Oh, they might want a right tackle to eventually allow them to move Broderick Jones to left tackle. You know, Dan Moore is going to be a free agent next year. They won't re-sign him. He'll actually go out on the free agent market, and he'll get a massive contract as an NFL left tackle who has started every game since his rookie season. So the Steelers might want a right tackle. That's nice, but they have two tackles, Dan Moore and Broderick Jones. They don't need a tackle, not right now. And they need a second receiver, but that's a second receiver. You need a starting center, and there aren't many of them out there. So if you're drafting 20 and you don't pick again till 52, I'm not sure any of the three centers are going to be there at 52. So you better take one at 20 if you have a grade on one at number 20, and I believe they do in the guy from Duke. And so to me, that's where you go on Thursday. Now, on Friday, if on Thursday you don't do that, then to me, I think you might see them trade up in the second round to try and get one of the centers they like. But the guy they probably like at that point will not be there.
Right.
So, that's what happens there, Steve. But on round two, so if you're asking me, and I'm making the picks, and I think this is what you'll probably see them do, I would say it's going to be a center on the first round. And then in the second round, on Friday, you have the second and you have two picks in the third round. You're going to get a wide receiver for sure there, whether it's on the second round or the third round. You want a guy to pair with George Pickens. You might see them then try and take a tackle because there's a lot of them in the draft. But you also see them take a corner. So if you're a betting man and you're looking at four positions from which to pick, and you want to put up some four-man parlay, you could go center, tackle, cornerback, and wide receiver, and probably hit 99% of the time.
Right, exactly. And the center from Duke, I think the other one's from Oregon, and then there's Zach Frazier, locally from West Virginia.
Right.
I mean, those are really the three guys right there. Now it's a question of preference as to which direction you go in. And it's not like over the years this franchise from Mansfield to Webster to Dawson to, you know, Pouncey.
Pouncey, I mean, right.
Yeah, they have hit the jackpot on centers, and it's been the cornerstone of their offensive line traditionally. I think it's fair to say, right?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know, it has been said to me by, you know, someone in the organization who would know that Graham Barton is a generational type player.
Yep.
Well, if that's what you think, then you take a generational type player. Those types of players are Pro Bowl players. Those guys are guys you build your line around for 10 years, like Marquise Pouncey. You took Marquise Pouncey at 18. There is nothing wrong with taking that type of player at 20 if you believe in him. And if he is what they think he is, then to me, why would you pass him up? You just wouldn't, because that is your number one need. They have starters at every position but center. And all they have on the roster right now are guys who are capable of being backups. So it's why, to me, to pass up that opportunity. And yeah, the other two guys are Zach Frazier from West Virginia and Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. But I don't think they have those two guys rated as highly as they do Graham Barton.
Right. If your grade is generational player, okay, it eliminates choices. And as for the wide receiver part later in the draft, there are a lot of wide receivers in this draft. So how important is a speed guy, because Pickens is on one side, or how important is dependability, in your opinion, opposite Pickens?
You know, George Pickens is their X receiver. You know, he's the outside, deep down the field guy. And so you want to kind of counter that with the Deontay Johnson type, a great route runner, middle of the field kind of guy who can go deep, but who knows how to get open in the middle of the field. Ideally, now this guy won't be there, but to me, the best fit for them as that guy to pair with George Pickens would be the kid from Washington, Rome Odunze.
Oh, my goodness.
He is that type of receiver, even more so than Marvin Harrison. I'm not saying he's better than Marvin Harrison, but he's that type of receiver, and he would be the perfect match for George Pickens. But he won't be there at number 20, and I don't think they'll pull the trigger on that. You know, when you talk about the deep pool of receivers, that actually fuels the argument to take a center, because there's not a deep pool of centers. So you better get it while you can and not roll the dice that, well, maybe we'll get them on the second round. So, like I said, in order to do that, they would have to trade up in the second round, and also they would probably have to have all three centers ranked basically the same. But to me, that's rolling the dice when you don't need to do it, because there are other tackles, and again, you don't need a tackle, but there are enough wide receivers that you can you can find one, certainly on the second, for sure on the second round, and probably even, I'm sure, even the third round. And, you know, we know the Steelers' history and success of history drafting wide receivers in third round or later.
And it should be pointed out that when he's talking about like Harrison and Dunzie, it's we're talking stylistically. Harrison is stylistically more like Pickens. Dunzie isn't.
Right.
And that's what Jerry's talking about here. It's just having a different component out there instead of having two of the same, right?
Exactly right. And so I'll be, you know, they added a couple guys in free agency, but they're no more than what Allen Robinson was. You know, Van Jefferson, who they kind of like, and then Kez Watkins from the Eagles. But they're not the type of guy that they figure is going to come in and be the number two guy. But I will also say this. I learned a long time ago, and even most recently, that I am not going to rule out the possibility of a draft day trade for a wide receiver. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not saying they're in negotiations with it. But I just from based on what I know, I would not rule out that possibility. Wouldn't put money on it, but I would not rule out the possibility.
But again, philosophies change over time. I mean, the Steelers were a team that rarely, if ever, traded. Now, they traded up for Bush, and you and I both know it didn't quite work out. But it's not out of the realm of possibility with this particular leadership that they would do it. from Mike Tomlin. Let's say it's center off the board. If Mike Tomlin in day two, what kind of influence would he like to exert as to the positions he would like in rounds two and three?
You know, Steve, I've always believed that Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin pretty much split it equally in terms of who had to say. I always believed it was 50-50. And by that, I mean both of them had to be in agreement. If one of those guys liked one player and the other guy wasn't sold on him, okay, they would find the next player that they agreed on. And vice versa. If Kevin Colbert liked one and Mike Tomlin wasn't sold on him, I think they would try to go to the player that they both agree upon. And I really think, for the most part, it works the same with Omar Khan. But because Omar is newer to the role, this is only his second draft, I would be willing to say that probably Mike Tomlin has the upper hand. But Mike Tomlin isn't going to draft a guy that, say, Omar Khan doesn't like or Andy Weidel didn't like. I don't think that's the case. But I do believe, because of the newness of the regime, that Mike Tomlin, being the guy who's been there 17 years, now 18, is going to be the guy, if there is such a thing, who has the final say.
I'm not surprised that it looks like the Steelers are not going to pick up the option, the fifth-year option on Justin Fields. And of course, you're not going to do that with Russell Wilson. What's just your thought on where that stands right now in a wait-and-see mode?
You know, Steve, I was told shortly after the trade for Justin Fields that they were not going to pick up the fifth-year option. So what I saw out there by breaking news from ESPN is old hat. That was not going to happen. And why would it? They'd have to pay him $22 or $25 million this year. And that's preposterous. But what they will do is, I think you will see them give him a contract extension of at least 2 years to keep him around. You know, they didn't bring him in for a one-year trial. And with Russell Wilson, the idea is both from Russell Wilson's part and the Steelers' part, is that they will sign him to a longer contract after this season. You know, it's a bit of a show-me deal. Show me what you have left. But they went into this agreement with the idea from both ends that they are going to do another contract after this year. So, you know, both of those acquisitions have, they're, like I said, they're not one-year rentals. They're planning on going forward with these guys, unless, you know, Russell Wilson would just bomb out and show that he show he has nothing left, which I just don't believe. So I think you're going to see both those guys receive some kind of deal. I think with Justin Fields, it might even happen before the season starts. Get that contract extension to lock him up to make sure there's no free agency, departure next year. And then I think they'll work out the deal with Russell Wilson after the season. That is certainly the intent, as I said.
All right, so give us an idea of what your draft weekend is like. What are your responsibilities, and how do you need to spend it?
Well, I spend it very busy, Steve.
Yeah.
I like to start the morning with maybe 9 holes of golf, but sometimes that's not always possible. But, yeah. I get there. The draft, for example, the draft will start 8 o'clock tomorrow. And I'll be on the air on the radio from 7 to 9 from the Steeler facility. And then once they make their pick, obviously, it gets a little busy. But it's only one pick, and so it's not too bad. We'll meet with Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan at the end of the first round to discuss the pick. The next day, the draft starts at 7. I go on the air at 6, and I will be on from 6 to 8. Or even longer until the Steelers pick. And once the Steelers pick, then I go off the air. And then I'm busy. And so there'll be 3 picks that night. So that obviously will be a little bit more hectic, a second-round pick and 2 third-round picks. And then Saturday's just a long day of – by that point, Steve, I've had enough. At that point, you just want the draft to be over, because other than maybe the fourth round – You're taking a bunch of guys who, let's face it, you're rolling the dice, might not make it past training camp, and right. In which case, You know, with all due respect, I don't have much interest in any of those guys. You know, so that's kind of what it is for me. I look forward to the first day. I think everybody does. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Other than crowning the Super Bowl champ, Steve, it's the most anticipated moment in the league all year. Thursday night, the number one pick in the draft. Who's it going to be? And so it generates a lot of excitement and you know, a lot of hype and hysteria for sure as well.
Oh, by the way, I heard the best evaluation of Caleb Williams of anybody. They said he is great in havoc situations. The problem is most of the time he's the one that created it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm certain he'll be off the board first, and then we'll see. Last year, what, three quarterbacks went 1, 2, 3? And there's a good chance you might see a 4 go in the first 4 picks. With J.J. McCarthy being the wild card there, and I think some trades will have to happen. And then I think Michael Penix will go, I'm going to guess, in the upper half of the draft, I'm guessing. Yeah. And so that'll be 5. And I think what Bo Nix will probably maybe late first round, early second.
Yeah. I said, you know what? I feel that there will be 6 quarterbacks in round 1 somewhere.
Yeah.
In round 1.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and the six being who?
Oh, Bo Nix, Penix, McCarthy.
Right. That's right. Entirely feasible.
Yeah.
I mean, Bo Nix, I was not a big Bo Nix guy because, well, you saw him against Auburn, Penn State, am I right? Was that the game? They play him? Or am I wrong?
They played him. No, he played. He played for Auburn, and you know what, Jerry? I didn't
Wasn't
know
it versus Penn State, and he was terrible.
I didn't know what to expect from him. And while he wasn't great, he was better than I thought he would be. He stayed away from the big mistake, which has always been his biggest problem. He didn't make a big mistake in that game. Penn State just beat them. Right?
Yeah. But at Oregon, obviously, in a better system, you know, it's kind of like Brock Purdy in the 49ers. You know, Steve, I'm convinced that if Mac Jones played in a 49er system, he'd be better than Brock Purdy. Because that's the type of system he would work best in. So I think, you know, Bo Nix certainly benefited from that, from the system in Oregon. And if he gets in the right system in the NFL, he could be good. And if he's not in the right system, I just think he might be a wasted number one pick.
If Mac Jones had Trent Williams as his left tackle, Deebo Samuel, Ayuk, and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle.
Right.
Right? That's a big part of it.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, that's the problem with being. And Carl Williams, Caleb Williams' father, made that point about the draft. Right? That, I mean, Trevor Lawrence so far has been in the hall of very good in the NFL. He's not great, but what does he have to work with? He joined a 1-15 team. Well, guess what? 1-15. You don't just a magic wand and suddenly you're 15-1. It's not how it goes.
Right.
All right. Get the clubs ready. You and I need to go out, relax, and hit a few.
I certainly hope we can. I know there's a tee time up at Sunny Hanna waiting for us.
Yes. And I know Mr. Hamm has talked to me about this, so here we go.
Yes, he has. And every time I see our friend Ronnie Moeller, who I just ran into him a week or so ago up at the Chartiers, I remind him of that, that date is pending still.
We're going to make it happen. My friend.
I hope so.
Enjoy the draft, but then enjoy a great round of golf on Monday after it's over with.
Steve, always good chatting with you, my friend. I look forward to the next time.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Jerry.
You got it, brother.
He is the best. He's the best. All right. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Well, what do you think? We'll have some fun, do a little mock draft tomorrow?
Sure.
Yeah.
That sounds like a plan.
I mean, we can get them wrong like everybody else.
There's no doubt about that.
I'm an expert. I've gone through every tape. I've looked at everything. He's twitchy. Okay.
That might be another problem, though, if he's just twitchy.
He's twitchy. Oh, goodness gracious. Look, obviously, these teams, like, you pour a lot of money into somebody. So let's take Detroit re-signing Penny Sewell today. They poured a lot of money into him. He's made it pay off so far. But when you're drafting somebody, especially this high, it's an investment. And that's why they have to look at everything.